From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best. For today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo encourages steps to handle waste imports. Relocation of Indonesia's capital different from Malaysia. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo hopes that handling of garbage become attention of all his staffs. This is regarding the positive and negative impact of garbage, which are mostly used by industry, but in another part harm the environment. When leading a limited cabinet meeting on Tuesday afternoon at the Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java, President Joko Widodo said that a number of controlling steps must be conducted to maximize garbage potential. In addition, President Joko Widodo mentioned the importance of existence of strong regulatory aspect in managing import of garbage to accelerate the solution of problem. The president also emphasized the importance of law enforcement and firm supervision on garbage imports to Indonesia.
Kita harus maksimalkan potensi sampah yang ada di dalam negeri terlebih dahulu untuk kebutuhan bahan baku.
We should maximize the potential of garbage in the country first for the need of our industry. Secondly, regulation which is needed to recover waste import governance in order to accelerate the solution. Thirdly, enforcement of the rules and firm supervision on waste imports to Indonesia.
Import sampah dan limbah yang masuk ke Indonesia.
Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also emphasized the importance of decisive steps which must be taken by law enforcement officers if they need violations related to waste imports. The president also underlined the importance of coordination with related ministries in order to avoid different views of each ministry related to the issue. Furthermore, the president explained that the issue of waste imports does not only occur in Indonesia. It has even become a concern of the global community. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Malaysian King Yang di-Pertuan Agung Al-Sultan Abdullah Al-Mustafa Billah Shah Ibni Sultan Ahmad Shah Al-Mustain Billah discussed efforts to intensify bilateral cooperation between the neighborhood nations. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi remarked after a bilateral meeting between Jokowi and the King at the Bogor Palace, West Java on Tuesday, that both nations should unite in the fight against palm oil discrimination. The president also spoke of Indonesia attempting to find a way to absorb national palm oil production for domestic consumption. a likely cooperation between Indonesian state oil and gas company Pertamina and its Malaysian partner Petronas was also the topic of the discussion, especially on collaboration in implementing projects in other nations. Petronas and Pertamina are keen to move forward by establishing more strategic cooperation, for instance, by handling third nations' projects. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the relocation of Indonesia's capital from Jakarta to East Kalimantan is different and cannot be equated with Malaysia. He stressed in Malaysia, only the administrative center that moved from Kuala Lumpur to Putrajaya. Vice President Yusuf Kalla also said Indonesia can be compared with Malaysia if the capital city is moved to Jonggol, West Java. He emphasized the new capital is in East Kalimantan, so everything must be new. Not only the issue of distance, the vice president said the relocation of administrative center in Malaysia was also relatively not as complicated as Indonesia. He explained, Malaysia only has 14 ministries that transferred to Putrajaya. Meanwhile, Indonesia has 34 ministries and it does not include non-ministerial government agencies. The Environmental and Forestry Ministry will soon conduct a strategic environmental study of the planned location for the new capital city located in parts of Penajam, Pasir Utara, and Kutai Kartanegara districts, East Kalimantan Province. Asked if part of the planned location for the new capital is a production forest, Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya said at the Bogor Presidential Palace on Tuesday that it did not contradict the law. According to the minister, Law No. 41 of 1999 stipulates that the government, in this case, the forestry minister, has the authority to designate the use and utilization of the forest area. Article 19 of the law stipulates that the government can decide a change in the appropriation and function of forested land based on the results of the integrated research. Therefore, the Environment and Forestry Ministry will team up with the Indonesian Forum for the Environment, or WALHI, to conduct the environmental study. As technology develops, radio as media gets more difficult challenges. Broadcasting technology, which also develops, does not guarantee radio sustainability, especially in Asia. This was stated by Acting Director of Asia Pacific Institute for Broadcasting Development, Philomena Gna Pragasam, in a speech at an opening Radio Days Asia 2019 in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on Tuesday morning.
And we have observed that there are many fast-paced technological advancements in broadcasting industries, and countries are already creating groundbreaking strategies which will change the whole face of this industry. However, many Asian countries are still practicing traditional broadcasting. So exploiting the full benefits of technological advancements demands effective collaborations with organizations.
On the same occasion, futurology radio expert from Australia, James Quitland, the Voice of Indonesia, said that although it must compete with podcasts and streaming services, radio is still a leading media which continuously connect with its listeners.
Lots of challenges, of course, and you know, obviously access to mobile phones, access to Spotify and podcasting and all of that, you know, is a clear part of where radio is going. But I also think that actually we shouldn't forget the benefit that radio has of being a shared experience with a human connection, that human being at the other end who is helping you understand what's going on in the world is a very important part of what radio is all about. And I think we should bear that in mind and focus on helping our audiences and helping our audiences understand the world in which they live.
James Quitland further explained that he ensures that radio has a good future and strong, while listeners will definitely enjoy it until the next 10 years. Indonesian Minister of Communication and Informatics Rudiantara stated at the Antara News Agency office in Jakarta on Tuesday that Indonesia can strike a balance between the freedom of expression and national security. Minister Rudiantara told Antara after inaugurating the latest Brand A news service system that Indonesia is not a country that blocks everything or all services of the information and communication technology when it comes to national security issues. The Indonesian government had cut internet access on August 23rd in Papua to stop the spread of racist messages and misinformation after the violent protests resumed. Indonesia had also partially limited social media to prevent the spread of false information after some unrest in the capital, Jakarta, following the announcement of the presidential election results in May 2019. Indonesian Military Commander Air Chief Marshal Hadi Cahyanto has expressed gratitude to the Papuan customary communities in Biak Numfor District, Papua Province, for their commitment to preserving the integrity of the United States of the Republic of Indonesia. Addressing a press conference after holding a dialogue with several representatives of the Papuan customary communities in Biak Numfor District, the commander also thanked all components of local communities for their contribution in maintaining law and order. Their support for the government's programs was also highly appreciated. Therefore, the commander pledged to inform the related ministries on the insightful information and inputs he had received from the Papuan leaders for the sake of better development in Biak. Well, listener, that was the news.
Today's commentary is on G7 summit results and its impact on political and economic conditions. The seventh high-level conference of the industrialized countries, G7, which took place in Biarritz, France, produced agreements in the fields of economy, trade, and international politics. In the field of trade, the G7, which was followed by India and the European Community, paid attention to the WTO agreement, especially regarding copyright protection, effort to better handle disputes, as well as unfair practices in trade relations. The presence of U.S. President Donald Trump at the summit did not seem to discuss the practice of the trade war that occurred between the United States and China. The G7 also paid attention to the issue of Iran's nuclear reactors and weapons. Politically, the leaders present at the G7 summit in France shared the same view regarding the prohibition of Iran to own and develop nuclear reactors and weapons. Politically, the leaders present at the G7 summit in France shared the same view regarding the prohibition of Iran to own and develop nuclear reactors and weapons. The new British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is reported to have stated his position on Iran. In his press conference, Boris Johnson expressly forbade Iran to use nuclear weapons, whereas other European leaders tend to use a softer approach. That attitude is certainly different from the United States, which has been involved in tensions with Tehran. What is also interesting from G7 summit in Biarritz, France, this time, is the discourse to include Russia in the G7. G7 leaders are of the view that Russia needs to be invited in the G7 meeting. From the result of the G7 agreement in France, it seems the world still has not seen results that will impact the global economic and political fields in the near future. Changes in trade relations marked by the occurrence of the U.S. trade war will still dominate the development of the global economy. Meanwhile, the tension of relations between the United States and Iran may not be eased yet. This can be seen from the statement about Iran's nuclear in the final G7 communique. Well, that was commentary on G7 summit results and its impact on political and economic condition. This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. Today in history, I'll begin with August the 28th, 1963, massive anti-racism demonstration in America. More than 250,000 Americans, both black and white, carried out an anti-racism long march in Washington. It was the largest anti-racism demonstration in the U.S. history. The action was against racial segregation and called for civil rights laws. The highlight of the demonstration was a speech by civil rights activist Martin Luther King. Since 1956, he had carried out anti-discrimination campaigns. In June 1964, the U.S. Congress then adopted civil rights laws that supported anti-racism, namely equality in elections, the use of public institutions, job placement, and equality in achieving education. Turning to August 28, 1988, a maneuvered demonstration plane kills 70 people. A deadly accident occurred at an aerospace exhibition at the United States Ramstein military base near the city of Kaiserslautern, West Germany, on Sunday, August 28, 1988. An aircraft from the Italian Air Force team collided while performing. The plane crashed near about 300,000 people. 67 spectators and 3 pilots died. 346 spectators suffered serious injuries in the resulting explosion and fire, and hundreds more were slightly injured. We conclude with August 28, 2014. Recep Tayyip Erdogan was appointed President of Turkey. Recep Tayyip Erdogan served as Prime Minister of Turkey from March 14, 2003 to August 28, 2014. Erdogan was the founder of the Justice and Development Party, or the AK Party. From the first year, the AK Party became the largest publicly supported political movement of Turkey. On August 10, 2014, Turkey held a direct presidential election for the first time in 91 years. Erdogan was elected as the 12th president of Turkey as the result of the Turkish presidential election. Erdogan won the presidential election by gaining 52% of votes by beating his two competitors. On August 28, Erdogan was officially appointed as the 12th president of Turkey. Well, that was Today in History for Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's edition of My Indonesia entitled "The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries synergizes with other parties to increase the protection of fishing ship crews." The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries synergizes with various parties to improve the protection of fishing vessel crews in an effort to uphold human rights in the fishery sector. Director General of Capture Fisheries, Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, M. Zulfikar Mohtar, in a written statement received in Jakarta on Sunday, said that his party continues to encourage all fishing ports to cooperate with insurance providers in providing services to facilitate insurance access. Until the end of 2019, it is targeted that 22 units of Central Port Technical Implementers have provided insurance service for fishing vessel crews. Zulfikar has also witnessed the signing of the collaboration between the Ocean Fishing Port of Bitung and the Social Security Organizing Agency Employment, BPJS, Ketenaga Kerjaan. This cooperation is a form of government commitment to provide access of labor protection services for fishing vessel crews in the operational area of the Bitung Ocean Fishing Port. Likewise, with the Seawork Agreement, all ports of the Central Technical Implementing Unit will apply Seawork Agreement as a requirement in the issuance of the selling approval, or SPB. Based on data of August 16, 2019, the number of crew members independently insured by ship owners reached 72,840 people in 31 fishing ports. Implementation of the Seawork Agreement has reached 22,351 people in 14 fishing ports. The Seawork Agreement and insurance for fishing vessel crews are a tangible form of protection for workers in an effort to apply the principles of human rights to the capture fisheries business. That's the end of My Indonesia.
Hilang rasa sendiri saat
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Dionumo Island in Gorontalo. Gorontalo province is well known with not only its typical foods, which arouse appetite, but also a tourism object with beautiful natural scenery. In North Gorontalo Regency, there is an inhabited small island. The island is located at Deme Village, Sumalata District, Gorontalo Regency, named Dionumo Island. To go to the island, it takes around 2 until 3 hours by land transportation. After taking the time, visitors will arrive at Sumalata District. From here, the visitors can continue their trip until Deme to Village, which become crossing point to Dionumo Island within 15 minutes by using small rented boat belonging to local people. The visitors will arrive on this small island. The existence of the hill behind Dionumo Island attracts a lot of domestic and foreign tourists. If you are on the hill, you will be satisfied to see blue ocean with coconut trees at the beach. Local government makes it free to enter the location. Because there is no regional regulation which applies the entrance fee of the tourism object. More especially, you can enjoy the sunrise at the east of Dionumo Island. While welcoming the sun, birds chirp begins to be heard from the east of the Dionumo Island. Villagers who realize on the beauty of the nature also keep the island clean, so tourists can enjoy the freshness of morning air without pollution. With combination of green color from expanse of grass on peak of the hill of Dionumo Island, tourists can be more beauty of the scenery, creation of the Almighty. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Terlihat jelas di matamu, tak bisa kau mengerti aku. Ada banyak wajah cerita, kau bisa pilih semaumu. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku. Oh, oh. Hanya hatiku. Satu tumbuh seribu, kata-katamu seperti debu. Ada banyak wajah cerita, ku kan memilih yang ku mau. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku. Gelas penuhmu, oh, oh, takkan terisi. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri, yang mendengar hanya kupingku, yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini, yang mengerti hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku.
Bicaralah, oh, oh, yang kau mau,
hanya hatiku.
Ini hidupku,
oh, oh.
Bicaralah, yang kau mau, ini hidupku. Bicaralah yang kau mau, ini hidupmu.
Alright listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW 3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia, or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency and Cultivation, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Bagaimana Kejadiannya? Or in English, How Does It Happen? Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about bagaimana kejadiannya, or in English, how does it happen? The conversation takes place between Tony and Enda at Joko's house. Enda tells Tony that her father has an accident. Tony wants to know chronology of the accident.
Bagaimana kejadiannya?
Dia sedang bawa motor. Tiba-tiba ban motornya pecah, lalu menabrak pohon.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to that topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Bagaimana kejadiannya? Which means, how does it happen? Dia sedang bawa motor, which means, he is riding a motorcycle. Lalu menabrak pohon, which means, then crash into the tree. Tiba-tiba, which means suddenly. Ban motornya pecah, which means his motorcycle tire broke. Lalu, or kemudian, which means then. Setelah, which means after. Sebelum, which means before. Mengendarai, which means to ride. When an accident happened, and you want to know the chronology of the accident, you can ask people by saying bagaimana kejadiannya, or which means, in English, how does it happen? While to mention the chronology of the accident, there are usually some conjunction used to sort the accident, such as lalu, kemudian, setelah, and sebelum. Next, let's listen to some examples. Ban motornya pecah, lalu menabrak pohon. Which means, his motorcycle tire broke, then crashed into the tree. Dia menabrak pohon, kemudian pingsan. Which means, he crashed into the tree, then he was fainted. Dia pingsan setelah menabrak pohon. Which means, he was fainted after crashing into the tree. Setelah itu, ia dibawa ke rumah sakit. Which means, after that, he was taken to the hospital. Dia menelpon saya sebelum kecelakaan. Which means, he called me before the crash. In the dialogue, Anda said, ayah sedang bawa motor. The word bawa literally means to bring. But in the context of the sentence, the word bawa means mengendarai or to ride. In a daily conversation, Indonesian people usually say bawa motor or bawa mobil, then mengendarai motor or riding motorcycle, or mengendarai mobil or riding a car. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for more details, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Bagaimana kejadiannya?
Dia sedang bawa motor. Tiba-tiba ban motornya pecah, lalu menabrak pohon.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with another interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Ketika ku mendengar bahwa kini kau tak lagi dengannya, dalam benakku timbul tanya, masihkah ada dia di hatimu bertahta, atau ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu? Siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta lagi? Meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena ku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
Kini ku tak lagi dengannya, sudah tak ada lagi rasa antara aku dengan dia. Siapkah kau bertahta di hatiku, hai cinta? Karena ini saat yang tepat untuk singgah di hatiku. Namun, siapkah kau tuk jatuh cinta lagi? Meski bibir ini tak berkata bu, kan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena diriku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
Fikirlah saja dulu, hingga tiada ragu, agar mulus jalanku melangkah menuju ke hati.
Fikirlah saja dulu, hingga tiada di hidupku.
Bila kau jatuh cinta, katakanlah
janganlah sia-sia. Bila kau jatuh cinta, katakanlah
janganlah sia-sia. Bila kau jatuh cinta, katakanlah
janganlah sia-sia. Bila kau jatuh cinta, katakanlah.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music. And for today's edition, we will present traditional music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I present a song entitled Tenggang Tenggang Lopi, original song from Mandar, West Sulawesi. Although it was not known those who composed it, the song Tenggang Tenggang Lopi is very familiar to the people of Mandar, West Sulawesi province. The song Tenggang Tenggang Lopi is usually played in a fast rhythm and cheerful music. Tenggang Tenggang Lopi means to sail using a boat. The word Tenggang means sailing, while Lopi means boat. In a sense, this song tells about the custom of Mandar people who like to sail. Let's listen to the song Tenggang Tenggang Lopi by Meti Baan. Enjoy the song.
Panjang
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id.